Chapter 21 Beginning Preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isaiah 18:78. On the 24th of November, with the conspiracy to murder trial still pending, Mrs. Eddy, by invitation of the pastor, began preaching at the Baptist Tabernacle on Shawmut Avenue in Boston. Mrs. Eddy wrote of this period in Retrospection and Introspection. The congregation so increased in number, the pews were not sufficient to seat the audience, and benches were used in the aisles. At the close of my engagement, we parted in Christian fellowship, if not in full unity of doctrine. Our last vestry meeting was made memorable by eloquent addresses from persons who feelingly testified to having been healed through my preaching. Among other diseases cured, they specified cancers. The cases described had been treated and given over by physicians of the popular schools of medicine, but I had not heard of these cases till the persons who divulged their secret joy were healed. A prominent churchman agreeably informed the congregation that many others present had been healed under my preaching, but were too timid to testify in public. One memorable Sunday morning, a soprano, clear, strong, sympathetic, floating up from the pews, caught my ear. When the meeting was over, two ladies pushing their way through the crowd reached the platform. With tears of joy flooding her eyes, for she was a mother, one of them said, quote, "Did you hear my daughter sing? Why, she has not sung before, since she left the choir and was in consumption. When she entered this church 1 hour ago, she could not speak a loud word. And now, oh, thank God, she is healed." End quote. Richard Kennedy was pleased, but never satisfied, with his successes at injuring the Revelator and her cause. She wrote of his wicked work. "From the time we dissolved partnership with the aforesaid mesmerist, because of his depravity, he avowed his intention to injure us. And we have the testimony of those who have heard him say that he would follow us to the grave for that purpose." Being constantly surprised by Kennedy's diabolical plotting did not deter Mrs. Eddy from her purpose, but the fiendish harassment did force her higher in her demonstrations of spiritual power and protection. In the winter of 1878, the conspiracy to murder trial weighed heavily on the Eddies, but Kennedy, undetected, had accomplished his aim. His malicious intent was now bent upon pursuing Mrs. Eddy into the Baptist Tabernacle. The malpractitioner influenced young men of his acquaintance to attend the meetings and take front seats. As soon as the services had well begun, they would get up and leave one at a time, just to disturb the meeting. Finally, the minister, Dr. Williams, seeing their intentions, placed himself near the door. When they began their exit, he arose and locked the door, ordered them back to their seats, and threatened them with arrest for disturbing the services. After those disturbances had ceased, as Mrs. Eddy was preaching one day, a stone came crashing through the glass and landed at her side. A venerable gentleman arose and implored that she not attempt to go on with the service, to which she replied that she feared no harm, and called upon them to stand still and see the salvation of God. Then, suddenly, though there were no clouds to be seen in the sky, a heavy thunderbolt burst, which shook the house. Members of the audience saw the lightning playing all around Mrs. Eddy, while her voice was heard above it all, proclaiming, quote, "He uttered his voice, the earth melted," end quote. They were troubled no more with attempts to disturb the meetings. The youthful Mrs. Clara Choate accompanied Mrs. Eddy to one of the early meetings, probably the first. Her recollections provide a word picture of that occasion. "I consider this meeting one of the great events in the history of Mrs. Eddy's work. She told me going home she had been led to do this thing by spirit, and her obedience to God had led her aright. Some feeling she would shipwreck her cause by holding the meetings in this very Orthodox church. She told me she was up all night holding to God, lest error darken and discourage us in this undertaking. And we cried for joy when the meeting proved a success. I was proud of Mrs. Eddy. She looked the queen, so graceful, her face aglow, a new inspiration in her tone and manner, an indescribable power I have never seen with another. Even the hard face of the Reverend softened as he looked at her, and it seemed hard for him to utter any disagreement from her conclusion of God and man. Quote, "Why," he said, "if what you say is true, you will have man live forever," end quote. Other questions came up. Each subject was met and overcome, so that Mrs. Eddy remarked she had purified the temple. On our way home, I asked if she was hungry, and then she revealed to me her strength in truth outside of matter and replied, quote, "I have a meat to eat ye know not of," end quote. Again I asked, "Are you tired?" She turned upon me a radiant face, glowing with health, and in charming freshness of voice and manner, said, "Do I look so?" I again was convinced that neither loss of sleep nor absence of food mattered to this wonderful woman, whose close and real association with God met every need.